punk and the schooner. No one is punk. And the schooner. No one is punk and the schooner. No one is punk and the schooner.
Show number 34 of Noise Punk and Das Kruner. I am Das Kruner. Gene, who in God's name are you?
Yo, I'm Noise Punk. Yo, this is show number 34, and we got a very special guest.
We always say that, personal.
But today's guest is really special because Charles came really late, and the guest had to wait for like an hour, so now he's really a special guest, and Charles, he's a rapper.
Bum.
Sorry, I'll talk more about this later as the show goes on. We have with us composer, organist,
right?
Dan Locklear.
Charlotte's own, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Oh, right there.
Welcome to you, Charles.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, he's been waiting here for an hour.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna vent more about Charles and his.
Yeah, this will be a recurring theme throughout the program.
Evil ways and evil he is.
Yes.
First, Charles is gonna have to ask his question to Dan. Ask your question, bastard.
Thank you. This is obvious question. What? Will you stop with the?
That's my ask the question. Sentimental music in the background.
All right. Obvious question. What started everything for you as far as your desire to write music out of nothing?
I had to. That's what most composers do say, and that was with me too. But I was actually trained as an organist early on, and certainly got to know the works of J.S. Bach, which was quite an incentive, but also Gabrielli and Charles Ives, and it was the inspiration of so much. But I think any composer really has to feel that there's nothing else that you can do but that.
I absolutely agree with that one.
That one's gone, so we're going to put that somewhere.
We got to put that copyright that in the post.
Okay.
Or not.
We got to put that in your room, that any composer who shouldn't be late and should really have to write music. And
yes.
This is why Charles only writes one piece a year.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he sleeps all day.
Yeah, that's... There you go.
All right, Dan, look. I know I want to sit here and vent about Charles, but what I really need to do is hear one of your pieces. Please tell us which one we would like to hear first.
What tickles your fancy?
Well, probably a good one to start with would be The Breaker's Pound, the last movement of that. It's quite an energetic piece. My music is quite energetic rhythmically as well as searching for beauty and lyricism. But this particular piece is for solo harpsichord and has become part of the repertoire. Very rock-infused as well as classical infused. So it'd probably be a really good one to start with.
Okay, Charles, you want to hear the CD? It's the last movement. It's called Postlude.
Oh, yes, the Postlude, the concluding movement of The Breaker's Pound by our guest Dan Locklear here on Noise Punk and Dust Scooter.
Charles came late.
Thank you.
Oh my God! The postlude let's say that again. The postlude from The Breakers Pound by our guest Dan Locklear, and that was Elaine Funaro on the harpsichord.
Charles is speechless about this thing. Yes. And what CD is this from?
This is from a recording entitled Into the Millennium, the harpsichord in the 20th century.
Well, this CD is already a decade old. I mean, a millennium
it
off.
It
should be the 21st century. That should be her next thing.
Well, I'm sure you must have heard, like other composers have heard, the various Ligeti works. He wrote a series of works for the harpsichord. Very unorthodox. I mean, wow, that was incredible.
Thank you. It's a wonderful instrument, and so many people think of it as a museum instrument, but certainly one of the persons in America that did the most for it is Igor Kipnis. And Igor Kipnis had invited me to do another work for harpsichord, which I did. The piece is called Cluster's Last Stand on the Ground.
But I'm bump.
But Elaine Funaro has done a great deal through the an organization called Eleanor, the Eleanor Awards. This piece won the first place in Eleanor Awards in 1986, and it's been an area that she's been keenly interested in, just bringing about new music for the harpsichord. So as a composer for all wide range of instruments, the harpsichord was a special instrument for me because, just like with the organ, to really bring about new music for an instrument that a lot of people think of as not being a contemporary instrument.
Yeah, man. And that was so well recorded and mastered, the way that was done. It was like in your face, which the harpsichord normally is not in your face.
That's true. And that's somewhat of a problem, you know, when people get to hear harpsichord recordings and then they go into a hall, of course.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
Same thing with guitar, you know, guitar and clavichord.
Maybe you amplify the harpsichord. Well, I don't know if it's worth it, but flea thought.
Yeah. Well, in a small very hall, fleeting. A harpsichord can fill the hall, you know. Yeah. But certainly on this recording, it does.
Yes, of course.
It does.
Yeah.
Just talking to the mic.
I'm getting to that. I'm disoriented, you.
Yes, you are. He just woke up. He made us wait an hour, and then he tells us he's sick. We're going to all get the flu.
Yeah. And well, I said I was
other,
sick, and I'm getting off.
Kind of diseases this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He has did he? Animal. All right,
I don't. Oh, I'm gay. No. Anyway.
You heard it here first.
So I guess you'll be infected. Anyway,
you're gonna get some serious phone calls now. Listen.
Yeah.
Very
jolly.
Dan, let's ignore Charles for a second and have a nice conversation between the two.
What would you like to play next?
Yes, well, exactly. Why don't we do? Since we talked about mentioned organ, there's a small concerto, only 10 minutes, called "Ere Long We Shall See," that was premiered here in New York City in 1996. It was commissioned for the National Convention of the American Guild of Organists, and it's a 10-minute work. The opening section is very broad, and then there's a very lyrical middle section that builds up to big climax, and then a very energetic last movement. It's all in one movement, really, but the last section, and then kind of concludes with a flashback to the beginning.
Are you talking about the Constellations?
Ere Long We Shall See. Oh. No, it's the orchestral piece. This is a recording with Gregory D'Agostino, New York City organist, who came over to Bratislava to record it with the Slovak Radio Orchestra on the first recording of my orchestral music.
So which piece is this again?
Ere Long We Shall See.
Wonderful. Okay, by our guest, Gregory D'Agostino. Oh, sorry, no, that's the organist.
Jesus Christ, this boy.
Don't say the Lord's name in vain. Thank you. By our guest, Dan Locklear, this is the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Kirk Trevor. And the organist is Gregory D'Agostino here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
You know, people get fired for less.
And you know, this piece is 10 years after The Breakers Pound, exactly, as far as composition. So 10 years later.
We're going through time.
We're going to see how we developed in 10 years.
Exactly.
I know Charles hasn't.
All of that G major stuff, and all of a sudden A major out of nowhere, which did start the work.
That's right.
So
that's right.
There you go. Ere Long We Shall See by our guest Dan Locklear. That was the organist Gregory D'Agostino, along with the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Kirk Trevor.
All right. Charles, you got something right today.
Yes, thank
Congratulations,
you.
Congratulations, Charles.
You go.
Charles.
Really good orchestra out there. It's one of these phenomenons of how American composers are able to negotiate to get deals with various Eastern European orchestras. How did this come about?
Well, Kirk Trevor, the English composer, the English conductor of this ensemble, has commissioned works for me in the past and conducted works of mine. Matter of fact, I'm a resident composer in resident for the Terre Haute Contemporary Music Festival out in Indiana.
As you should be.
And Kirk Trevor's orchestra is Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra is doing a work of mine out there for that. As a matter of fact, this piece in memory, which is the work he's doing of mine out there? It's a big piece called Stirring the Silence. But anyway, Kirk has had a relationship with the Slovak Radio Orchestra for a number of years, and yet it is a very strange feeling to be an American and to feel that you have to go abroad to have your music recorded. And yet this orchestra has become the most popular orchestra for Hollywood. They are now recording a lot of more Hollywood scores than any other orchestra around, but the two of the original Naxos engineers are the ones who do the recording there.
Oh,
so
right.
It's really a quality orchestra and a quality situation for recording. Too.
Yeah, and they're, I mean, you can't get an orchestra 10 times that amount. I mean, whatever, how much it costs to take care of out there, you can't get an orchestra 10 times more than that, nor to hear as far as any orchestra.
They work for toilet paper.
You know, you think you're funny.
That's an 80s joke.
That's just bad, man.
That's a bad joke, sorry.
But a lot of those rates have gone up now. You know, some of the Russian orchestras and so on were all of these Eastern European orchestras were lower, but they figured out that they can make more money, so a lot of the rates have gone up. And plus, in Bratislava, the communists have been voted back in power, which means there's a change, too, in the slant of things. So.
Right, it's a complicated world. What would you like to hear next? What?
Talking to the mic.
I am talking into the mic. You're an idiot. Anyway.
Let's hear another piece.
Would you want to do a chamber work, maybe to contrast?
That's a very good idea.
Sure.
Why don't we do Rinaldo Reflections? This is a piece from 2000, and it's a five-movement work inspired by five different paintings of American artists. The second movement. Why don't you play the second movement called "Grounded in Machines"?
Right.
This particular movement is inspired by a Thomas Hart Benton painting called "Bootleggers," and I think you'll hear the qualities that might be the forces of good and evil, which is really what his painting did. There's a third movement called "Arias to a Flower," which is a very sensuous, erotic sort of piece inspired by a similar sort of painting by Georgia O'Keeffe,
cool.
called St. George's.
So we're going to play both those movies.
Yeah. And if you want to, if we have time, Dances Before the Barn, which follows that, inspired by a painting of Charles Sheeler, a 1952 painting. It's a very clean and lean sort of line. So those three movements make a good pairing out of this five-movement work.
Let's do it.
Rinalda Reflections, a trio for flute, cello, and piano. Three of the movements featuring Melissa Sir on flute, Steve Estes on cello, and Robert Brewer on piano. Here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, the three inner movements of Reynolda Reflections by our guest Dan Locklear. That was from an album titled Chamber Music, featuring flautist Melissa Sir, cellist Steve Estes, and pianist Robert Brewer, here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner.
Rocking it, rocking it. A little pentatonic in the end of it,
eh? Right, a lot of that. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
With a few 7/8s and a few other elements mixed in so that these performers should actually count.
Yeah, that's right. You have to teach performers how to play, right? Keep them on their toes.
You were commenting on the fact that it was, again, well-mastered and well-recorded. Yeah, it was... You got some pros there.
Yes, and excellent performers, and Albany really did a nice job with this recording. No doubt about it. Yeah.
They actually know how to do the job well, as opposed to some people who I know.
Oh, shut up!
Go ahead.
It's a 2-CD set, and you know, one of the negative things about a 2-CD set is, of course, the cost, you know, when recording companies do that. And I think that that's one of the issues about getting around a CD set that is two in number as opposed to one. But obviously, if you have a lot of chamber music that goes over one CD, you have to put it on two. So, mm-hmm. So anyway.
I recently purchased one of my favorite composers, John Adams. He came out with an album of only two. It's two recordings. They're roughly about 20 minutes each, but for some reason, the company, who shall remain nameless, decided to issue both pieces on two separate CDs, even though they're both only 20 minutes long. Now, I don't know whether that was a sales pitch or something. It seemed cool to do that, but I don't know. But the point is, this is just an exact an amplification of what you were talking about releasing any CD with two CDs in them.
That's right.
We're talking about the CDs, but we should really tell the people, the people out there, where they could go and buy these CDs.
That's a good idea.
I don't think you've said which labels they are, but I know.
Well, we have various. Albany is one of them. Albany. Naxos is one of them.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Naxos is the one that we probably should hear something from the next, which is the latest recording, all Locklear recording of my orchestral music. And I know Charles is a fan of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings.
Very much so.
And the particular piece that I would suggest maybe we listen to first is the In Memory HHL. My mother died almost 3 years ago now, and... when death occurs for a composer, as you both know, you turn to your music to express your own grief. So this piece is just a little over 5 minutes long. Kirk Trevor was quite taken by the work and made the statement, as you can read on the Naxos disc. As a matter of fact, it probably would just be good to just read the conductor's statement. This piece had never been done before. We did this recording, Dan Locklear, orchestral music for Naxos. It had never been premiered. And what was extraordinary about it was the recording booth in Bratislava. We did it near the end, and Kirk Trevor had even told me that there may not be time to do it. And I said, Kirk, I'd really appreciate if we could somehow make sure that we do it. It's only for strings, but it meant a complete reset up of the whole stage and re-miking and all. Well, as it turned out, we got to it, and the harpist who was there to perform the harp concerto had already finished her work, and she was in the control booth. My wife was... The soprano was, and the engineers. And as we started recording HHL, as they started rehearsing it, I started hearing going on throughout the whole thing. Well, when we were recording the thing, everyone was in tears. And, of course, I had to keep my attention clearly on the music to make sure that we gained all of the notes right, because it was, after all, my mother who it was in memory of. So I had to remain quite objective. But the response of people having heard this piece, not only when it was done here, Kirk has done it with the Missouri Symphony, it's been performed in a number of other venues now, has been extraordinary. And so I hope that people will find it as a real tribute to my mother, who was a very dear woman. She actually taught church school, and there's a pentatonic tune called Jesus Loves Me that is taught in all sorts of in church school for young kids, and my mother had taught that many times. And very end of this piece, right at the end of it, there's just a quote from that tune in the viola, the plucked viola, and then the piece ends. So I hope you and all will enjoy In Memory HHL.
Most definitely. And I should mention this particular recording. I go to various music scores in the New York City area, and of course they all have a Naxos section. Yeah. And one of the great things I see is this charming guy with a pipe in his mouth, the composer himself, Dan Locklear.
I was going to ask about the pipe. What's in the pipe?
I always smoke a pipe. I'm a collector of pipes, high-grade artisan pipes, and always smoke a pipe when I'm not smoking I have a pipe pen. So.
Right.
Fan of pop.
I was looking at the album, and before I knew generally who Dan was, but then I walked in and I see the pipe and said, "You're that guy."
You're the guy with the pipe.
Well, you know, the pipe has an incredible background. You know, Mozart was a pipe smoker. Bach even wrote a poem of Ode to Tobacco Smoke, and was an avid pipe smoker. And Handel was, and of course, in the 20th century, Walter Piston was a very well known pipe.
Sure.
And so was Carl Orff and George Gershwin.
The pipe, but that's crack.
Shut up.
Mine's just tobacco.
Yes. All right, Charles, gonna try.
Yours is legal.
He's gonna read the program note, and I'll try to make believe I'm playing an adagio for strings in the background.
Shush. You're off, man. All right. In Memory, HHL for String Orchestra, written in 2005. This is, again, the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Kirk Trevor, here on Noise Punk. And what?
There is the quote that Kirk...
Oh, yeah, please. We got to get the quote from... this is a quote from...
Play some string music!
This is actually the quote from the conductor himself that's on the album of this Noxus album with reference to In Memory HHL, in which he says, "After the first read-through of In Memory HHL, I realized we had found a worthy successor to the Barber Adagio. After recording it, I was even more convinced that this work had a real place in the standard string orchestra literature. Not to influence what you're about to hear..."
Charles, what's the first part of the...
It's a B flat, ultimately followed by an E flat minor chord, resolving to an F. No!
Is that B flat, E flat?
No.
Ah, come on, Charles.
It's a B flat note, starts with a B flat note, and then an E, then the E flat minor is on. Yes.
Bottom
goes to F minor. Oh, no, sorry, F7. Darn! Thank you. Just play the piece. Yes, it does.
Sorry. Okay, that was our...
In Memory, HHL, here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner. In Memory, HHL, by our guest Dan Locklear. That was the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Kirk Trevor. Beautiful piece.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Charles, here's a napkin. Here's a hanky. Charles was crying the whole time.
Yes, absolutely.
He was also sniffling, but I don't know if he was crying or sniffing cocaine.
You know, I'm
Get
sorry.
Get doing this.
Yeah, this is a great segment after such a beautiful work, and you mentioned
sorry,
cocaine.
Sorry, I have to ruin everything.
Yeah.
Like you, who only ruins things once in a while by coming really late.
Actually, I didn't know. I not only came late, I completely forgot about it.
Yep, there you have it. That's Gruner, senile.
Thank you. Right. That's me.
Dan, we have some time. Let's play something else. Let's play something else. Okay, let's do it.
What about another chamber work? That piece In Memory, HHL, was 2005. But from 1993, there's a piece that's also on the Albany Chamber CD of my music called Dream Steps. And why don't we do the third movement called Bars of Blues? Bars of Blues, but the work is scored for flute, viola, and harp. It was somewhat of an innovative work when it was commissioned because even though it was premiered in Washington, Smithsonian, before that it was premiered as a dance piece. Mm-hmm. And it was commissioned for two dancers called Two Near the Edge, a male and female, who danced in a lot of art galleries and all. And the Mallarmé Chamber Players, who commissioned it, wanted to have a piece that could be danced in a lot of the venues that they played. What I did, though, was to create a chamber music piece first that could be danced as opposed to simply something that could only be danced. So as you hear this, you may feel like you want to dance because it
Charles
does have
will.
All of those qualities. So but the third movement...
Shut up! Shut up!
The third movement of this piece is called Bars of Blues.
All right. From Dream Steps. This is the middle movement of this work entitled Dream Steps, a dance suite for flute, viola, and harp. Anna Ludwig Wilson is the flautist, along with Jonathan Bagg on viola and Jacqueline Bartlett on harp, here on Noise Punk and Das Kruner.
Soon to be only Noise Punk.
Hey!
Das Kruner keeps coming late. Thank you.
Bars of Blues from Dream Steps, a dance suite for flute, viola, and harp by our guest Dan Locklear. That was Anna Ludwig Wilson on flute, Jonathan Bragg on viola, and Jacqueline Bartlett on harp.
Yeah, man, blues it.
Blues kind of, baby. Yeah, with a few other elements in... No, no, no.
That was the blues harp, get it?
But up, up.
He keeps harping on that, doesn't he?
Anyway, so what would you? I think we're reaching nearing the end. What would you like to conclude with?
Well, I should mention that Dream Steps was just performed out in Detroit at the National Harp Association National Convention, and has been probably my most successful chamber work. It's been used as a backdrop for a small film that was done, cool. as well as being performed a good deal as a chamber work. Right. To conclude, we probably should go back to the Naxos CD, which contains another work that Jacqueline Bartlett is on, that my harp concerto, which she had commissioned, and it ends this Naxos CD, Dan Locklear's Symphony of Seasons. But perhaps since it is the season of autumn, we should end maybe with the first movement of the Symphony of Seasons. This is I call it my first symphony, but on the Albany orchestral CD, my chamber symphony is there, which is really my first symphony. But still, it's Symphony Number 1, Symphony of Seasons. It's inspired by the James Johnson poem of the seasons. And this particular first movement is called Autumn. And this opens the Naxos CD, Dan Locklear Symphony of Seasons.
All right. That's probably the best way to end. Autumn movement from Symphony of Seasons, Symphony Number 1, featuring once again the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Kirk Trevor in this wonderful Naxos album with a very charming Dan Locklear on the front cover. Because he looks awesome with a pipe in mouth.
Do you have a website? Is it at Dan Locklear?
Yes. Yeah, just Locklear.com.
Locklear.com, and I'm sure there's probably links to all these places if you
I
find
think so. Yeah, CDs. Yeah, everything.
That's probably the easiest. Locklear spelled
Locklear. Scotch, very Scotch.
Very Scotch. So don't misspell it out there. I'll come out there and
do something nasty.
And ask Charles to come to your house and have dinner with you, which is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you.
Here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner, you idiot. Yes, indeed. Autumn, the first movement of the Symphony of Seasons by our guest Dan Locklear. That was the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Kirk Trevor.
That was a glorious autumn. It blew
Thank
up
you.
In the end.
Which you can purchase that among many other things on this Naxos CD featuring the music of Dan Locklear and the aforementioned conductor and orchestra, along with various other people involved, a piano concerto, a wonderful string work, harp concerto.
Stupid Chong.
All right,
Dan, tell us, yes. What do you have coming up next?
Well, I'm here in New York for a performance by the St. Thomas Choir of Men and Boys, which is a group that I've had a wonderful relationship with. John Scott is the director there, and they're doing my brief mass on Sunday as well as a couple of motets, and then next week my Mag and Nunk.
That's 2008 for you. You probably just going
right.
to be on after the performances.
So,
read the reviews.
What I'm doing, I've just finished revising my opera, and it's a one-act opera that I did back in the late 70s, and it really needed a revision. And my current commission is a big work, actually an organ work for the Disney Hall organ in Los Angeles for June. Will be played by Thomas Murray, a very well-known American concert organist at Yale University. So that's my current commission, and I'm just always glad to have new work. And I've been fortunate to have had a steady stream of work since 1982. I don't think I've had an interruption with that. So with luck, it'll keep up. So.
Yeah, man. Well, good luck to you, and thank you very much.
Thanks
for
coming.
Well, thank you both. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
And again, I apologize for Charles.
Oh, yeah, keep doing it, will you? Just milk it.
Well, to both of you, all the best in your careers. You're doing wonderful things, and it's a pleasure to meet you both.
We're too stupid to do anything else, right, Gene?
Yeah, you are too stupid to do anything. You're even too stupid to do this show, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Speaking of which...
And here comes that theme music.
Yes, indeed.
That you recognize.
And that was
so
show
well.
Number 34...
with Dan Locklear.
And until next time,
noise
to you!
Noise punk.
Charles came late.
Scooter. Noise punk. And the scooter. Noise punk and the scooter.